The journey for me has always been a positive one. I've had leadership roles all the way through. We're all here to serve, you know, we're all here to serve sort of our baptismal calling to bring the good news. And that's where the joy comes in. This is very much a vocation for me and always has been. We're all the body of Christ. We are the church. The church isn't just one particular thing. It's not just liturgy and worship. We are here to support all of God's children.
Some people really do struggle with the unseen tasks of service and the service that has to happen, whether that's in the home or whether it's in the workplace or in the parish. There can be a little bit of that sense of underappreciation, and not necessarily that I'm not noticed but not appreciated. And there is that mindset shift of true service is about just showing up and giving generously without need of recognition. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Genius Podcast. My name is Karen Doyle, your host and founder of the Genius Project, an initiative for Catholic women designed to support and resource you towards growth in all areas of your life, personal, spiritual, and professional. We seek to do this through the Genius Podcast, which you're listening to, our Catholic coaching programs for women, our online courses, and the Catholic Women's Masterclass. If you would like to find out about these initiatives, please visit our website www.geniusproject.co, or come and join us on Instagram, genius_project_daily, or you can watch the live recordings of these episodes on our Genius Project YouTube channel. Just make sure you press subscribe so that you can get notified every time a new episode drops. My guest on this week's episode is Annie Corrett. Annie is the Chancellor of the Archdiocese and Chief of Staff to the Archbishop in the Diocese of Melbourne. She is a woman who has served in the church for many years over many different states and different areas. And today she's joining me to talk about her experience in leadership in the Catholic Church as a woman. She offers some great insights into how, as women, we can cultivate a spirit of service and contribution, and then how we might be able to overcome some of the obstacles that some women face in this area of leadership in the church. So, ladies, I hope you enjoy this conversation with Annie. But Annie, thank you so much for joining us on the Genius Podcast today. You're joining us from Melbourne, and it is lovely, such a gift to have you.
Thank you, Karen. I'm always a little bit nervous speaking publicly, but I think this is a wonderful opportunity, and anything that can support and encourage women in their faith and what they do is something we should all be embracing. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And you're joining us from Melbourne. You have a very important role there in the Archdiocese of Melbourne, which we'll move into in a little while. But I'd love for you to give the women listening a little bit of background on who you are, where you grew up, and how you came to be doing what you're doing today.
Lovely. Thanks, Karen. It's been a long journey. I think it's been a spirit-led journey. I can't believe, you know, quite that I'm sitting here in Melbourne today. But I'm originally from Sydney, born in Sydney, in a beautiful family, a wonderful father, faith, very of strong faith. My mother died when I was 12 months old, so my father effectively sort of brought me up and guided me. And I guess, although I wouldn't have, if you had asked me as a young person, you know, were we a very strong family of faith, I probably would have said, oh, no. But then reflecting back now, I probably realised, you know, we did the cleaning at church and we did the reading and he did the finances and I played the organ. And okay. In a sense, really, our faith life was part of our everyday world. And I think there's something quite special about that, and it's a blessing that, you know, I say thank you for every day. Went to a wonderful Catholic school, Santa Sabina in Strathfield, so from K to 12 with the Dominicans, a particularly beautiful order of religious, yes, who embedded in, I know everyone that I went to school with, embedded the fact that women can do anything that they choose to do. So there wasn't a doubt, I think, for anyone leaving school that you couldn't be who you wanted to be or what you wanted to do. It was just a matter of getting on with it and enjoying it. So school was a really wonderful experience. Very pleased to be, you know, fantastic, in the memories there. Yeah, it was lovely. tertiary education, went on to that, and tried a few things, architecture and all sorts of odds and ends, but it landed up in communications. It's something that I've always been passionate about, particularly around meaning and finding meaning and how we communicate meaning, as opposed to sort of journalism and things like that. It's how do groups sort of understand the world they're in? How do people understand each other, both through language and visual things? And that's always been a really deep passion of mine. Following that, I ended up in Canberra in Parliament House. I don't know.
Did you really? There
how
you
that
go.
Worked.
What did you do?
I worked for a news organisation down there in the press gallery for a few years, and it was a time before what they called aggregation. So essentially we were the voice of all the little communities around Australia when everyone had a television station, when Ballarat and Port Pirie and, you know, every Alice Springs, they all had their own local content. So we were the voice in Canberra, and it made those communities feel like they had a reporter there. And the focus was very much agricultural, I guess, in many ways, but what affected people in rural environments. So that was very important to see, again, how the local context, we need to carry that through. You know, we need to have those voices of the marginalised and people on the edges and the forgotten, I guess, made available. Met my husband there. So that was
see,
a lovely
Canberra
bit.
does have some good things.
It does. And he was in television production, so that was wonderful. And from there we moved far north Queensland, so I've sort of made my way down the east coast.
Done well.
I've worked in three dioceses, so I just had to think about that for a second, four bishops. So over 35 years, it's been an amazing journey. I was a diocesan archivist for over a decade. Mostly I've been in communications. Yes, it sort of worked our way down to Toowoomba and then Broken Bay. That's when Archbishop Peter, well, he was Bishop Commonsoli then, sort of he was appointed there, so I followed him then to Melbourne. So we've been working together for nearly 10 years, and
Fantastic.
Melbourne's different role here, so slightly different. I'm his chief of staff, but I'm also the chancellor for the Archdiocese of Melbourne. So
yeah,
there's
quite an
still a lot
important
of
role in the church.
It incorporates everything I've done, which is, I find fascinating. There's sort of the archives and the records, there's communications, there's, you know, the sort of management of
The whole
office.
lot.
It's the whole lot all bundled up.
Isn't it amazing? I think it's amazing when you look back over your life and you just see what seemed like random occurrences are actually God strategically placing you for and positioning you for the next step. And it's amazing how he just has his hand on our life, isn't it, throughout the whole way.
Absolutely. I still, you know, I look out the window here and I, how did I get to Melbourne? You know, but I'm exactly where I love to be. Like, this is, you know, I think that's one of the gifts, particularly working in the church, is you're here spirit-led again, the right place, the right time. You're here for this moment. And I think, you know, it's just such a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, look, thank you for that. That just gives the listeners a bit of context about who you are, and the conversation that we want to launch into today is really looking at women in the church, and women particularly in leadership in the church, because this can be such a fraught area, so much contention with different women and different perspectives on this. And so I guess you have experienced many roles over many years now of being a woman working and serving in the Catholic Church. And I'd love to dive into this just to touch on, I guess, leadership in the church and your experience of that, because I guess where we're going in this conversation is to really shine a light on the fact that there are so many different capacities and roles in which women can serve and can come alongside and support in the church. It's not always priesthood, and we want to make that distinction as we move through this conversation. But I'd love to hear a little bit about your experience of being a woman in leadership in the Catholic Church.
Sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit out of the limb because I have never had an issue at all about being a woman being valued in both work capacity, in thoughts, anything like that. The journey for me has always been a positive one. I've had leadership roles all the way through, and I think the difference is I don't know. I often feel it's there. We're all here to serve, you know. We're all here to serve, sort of our baptismal calling to bring the good news, and that's where the joy comes in. It's not. This is very much a vocation for me, and always has been. And so, I'm delighted with every part of the journey. I'm not sort of. I've never felt like I had to strive for more or anything. Sort of out of the ordinary, just to have a confidence, you know, and to be very happy with what I'm doing. But the leadership around me has always been supportive, and that's both men and women. I think that's really important.
And sometimes it is team. It's a team that you're a part of too that can have such a big impact on your experience as well. So I was interested to hear your experience because so many of the women that I sort of have worked with and worked alongside, there are some women in those camps that do have a bit of a gripe with leadership in the church and not feeling that they do have a place to serve. And I'm wondering if you can shed light on some of the obstacles that women do face, because even my experience is similar to yours in that I've never actually experienced that negativity as a woman serving in the church. And if anything, I've been deeply respected and valued for my opinion. So I'm feeling very blessed to be in that position as you were as well. But there are some women who are trying to serve, for instance, in parishes where the priest is not valuing of their gifts or there's a particular way of running things. I'm interested in your thoughts on some of the obstacles that women do face when it comes to leadership in the church. And then we might look at how we can overcome some of those obstacles. But it's also good to just name them and to acknowledge that they do exist for some people in some situations.
Karen, there's no doubt, and it's not just the church, obviously. I think there's obstacles for women
Absolutely.
no matter where you are. I think confidence is one thing, and I'll always come back to that a little bit. I think we have to be confident in who we are and the value that we can bring to things. It shouldn't be confrontational, and it shouldn't be aggressive in any way. There has to be a relationship, and absolutely, there will be places where perhaps some of the roles aren't valued, but I think it would be up the right way forward then is to have the dialogue and the conversation about, well, how do we bring this about? How do we better serve? You know, I think, yeah, it's just the dialogue is really important. I can't stress that, you know, and I think you value another person, you value their dignity and their capabilities and everything if you could be having open conversations, you know, why is there a problem? Can I offer to be in this space? I would like to be able to do this or to help with this, or you know, how can we bring more people in to have the different voices heard? They're gentle steps, and this is across all of society. I don't think this is anything endemic just to the church. I think we have to recognize that respect is a part of our responsibility to build no matter where we are. Yeah, I think that's probably key. Other obstacles. I do think, and I'm probably being a little bit cautious in what I say, things like that
Sure.
to a certain extent,
Yes.
but I think we can narrow down, and I'll probably talk about that a little bit further as we go, but I think we can narrow down what we understand of servicing the church too much. You know, we're all the body of Christ. We are the church. The church isn't just one particular thing. It's not just liturgy and worship. We are here to support all of God's children. So where can you be of service? You know, that might be, you know, that might be in a parish. It might be doing something particularly that no one else wants to do, or it might be on a board or something. where are your skills? Where are your gifts? What can you bring to the church? I think these are important questions. They're not always just to be focused in one particular area. In the same way that men also should feel that, where are they serving in the church? What are they, you know, it's not all about priesthood. Where are our men and what are they giving into the life of the church as part of their baptismal calling? You know, this is how are we all being servant leaders, if you like. So I think there's sort of, I'd love to see people sort of see that that sort of evangelization, if you like, or that missionary discipleship in a different way, that, you know, where do we find our place in this, and be strong about it and positive about it. And yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you touch on something really important there is this mindset shift around what is leadership? And leadership actually is service. It's service of a vision, and it's about coming alongside rather than having positions of power. And I think in this conversation, it's good to sort of make that distinction that when we're in the church, it's not about aspiring to a position of power, but beginning, it's sort of flipping that on its head and asking that question, which was going to be my next point of how can I show up and how can I serve? What are my unique gifts and how do I activate those gifts in service and contribution to a greater vision and that vision ultimately of evangelization, but how that is lived out and how that evangelization evolves is really important.
It is, and particularly, you know, we have to be mindful. The church, if you like to take it as that overarching sort of body, we need to be the voice of Christ. You know, it's not just our parishes, it's health, it's welfare, it's education. We need good Catholic voices in Parliament. We need good Catholic voices in industry. We all have a place, and our call to be a witness in the world might not be within the church setting, if you like, or the traditional church setting. You know, we need to have our people out in the world and being models of Christian life. I can't sort of stress that enough. You know, if I talk to young people quite often, I sort of say, think about yourself and your vocation. If you want to be in communications, for example, how might you be a Christian communicator in the world? Doesn't mean you have to work in the church, but
That's right.
how are you in the world in being that voice? You know, equally, I would love lots of Christian communicators within the church as well. So we are a vocational, you know, opportunity. That's another thing that people quite often forget. And, you know, we can talk about that. It's sort of our young people need to know that you can actually have a really fulfilling life working within one of the arms, if you like, of the church. You know, we offer a lot: accountants, property people, you know, builders, gardeners. This is all part of the life of the church. So.
Yes, and it's interesting that it doesn't matter what that position is, we're all coming under that greater vision. I know when Jonathan, my husband, he's speaking in schools and he's training teachers, often they will have everybody from the classroom teacher to the janitor to the accountant in his sessions because they want everybody to hear a message that really needs to be embedded throughout the whole of the school. And it's a similar thing in the church. There's all these different positions, but we're all coming under that greater vision and serving towards a common vision of evangelization and to make Christ known and loved. And so we can do that when we turn up in the office if we're doing the accounting role, or it's not just about leadership at a head position. It's really about leadership and service in the positions that we find ourselves in and where we're called to be.
It's very true. And I know from our experience here in this office and every other office I've worked in, you know, we might have people working alongside us who are not Catholics or even non-Christian. And, you know, it's wonderful when they say, I love working here. There's something different about this environment. You all bring, you know, whether it's respect or whether it's just a real acknowledgement that we're inspired by something other than just earning a pay packet, if you like, or, you know, that sort of thing. There's something else.
It's interesting you say that, as you would know, our Calvary Catholic Hospital here in Canberra was disgracefully acquired by the government recently. And it was interesting talking to some nurses, because I have a background in nursing, who aren't Catholic, that have no faith at all, and they were just grieving not being able to work. It was no longer going to be a Catholic hospital. And they just said there was just something so different about working in a Catholic institution and environment. And I'm wondering if you can shed light on some of those threads. What are some of the distinctive characteristics that should define, I guess, a Catholic organization that makes it stand out?
It's interesting. I had something come up the other day, and it was someone who works with us in hospitality, so a chef, essentially. And it's the first time he's ever been in a Catholic environment. And he just said, he said, I can't tell you how happy I am to work here. He said, I've never been in a workplace where people are kind to each other. I mean, which was quite devastating to hear in one sense, but it also was a bit of a reminder of, yes, I think we do. Like, I look around and I think people take the time here to listen to the people they're engaging with. Hopefully that's a good synodal way of being. But we certainly, I can see that within the office. We take time for prayer, for setting back a little bit and just sort of understanding what the day ahead might be. Again, listening to people, really sort of understanding or taking a perspective of how all people might be impacted with decisions and things. I think there's certainly maybe a little bit more of a gentleness about some of the work. And that's not to demean the importance of what's being done or the engagement in some of those key public spheres or anything like that, but there's a consideration of the other all the time, I would
That's
say.
right. And there should be, at the heart of everything we do as Catholics, should be that person-centered approach on the value and the dignity of every person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me, Annie, I'm interested in, I guess you have found your career very fulfilling working for the church. And I guess looking at this idea of leadership, I'd love to flesh that out a little bit more and just sort of opening women's eyes to some of the possibilities and the places in which they can serve within the church. Like, obviously there's the parish, but just some of the different roles, the different capacities that women can start to think about in terms of how they can, I guess, express their gifts and leadership in some other roles.
If I take Melbourne as an example, my current example, so we have 62%, I think it is, of women in leadership just within our archdiocese offices here. In that picture, for example, so there's myself in my role. We have women leaders in legals, property, mission, where else? Safeguarding. It's quite significant. It's not just a tokenist, you know, concept. We have women leaders in just about every department. It's very significant. Communications, we have but in all of that, they're there because of skill, and they're there because of the merits that they have. One of the things I would like to say is for people to consider that it's an open opportunity. Everything that you might understand about business is an opportunity for a woman in leadership within the church. You know, it's quite incredible. The one areas that we're also looking for are particularly membership of boards, things like that. We do need to build some of those capacities. Multicultural involvement is also really key. So we do have a lot of women obviously working leadership, but we do need more representation from sort of the rich life that comprise our church, you know. So that would be one area that I would love to see more involvement in. It's like a big ecosystem. So our school system has an enormous number of women in leadership, not just in the schools themselves, not just principals, not just teachers. You know, in Melbourne alone, we have, I think it's something like 16,000 staff overall. Like, we need
Yes.
women. We need women to be a part of that. And our health, our welfare, there's a place for everyone. And no matter what your sort of interest is or what your life journey has been in your particular focus, I think there's a place for women. And I think I would seriously encourage them to be part of this great sort of environment.
And there's so many different places in which women can serve, isn't there? Whether that's from the parish level, in the community, and then moving up through the institutions that make up the church and the different arms of how we serve as a Catholic Church. So, Annie, I'm interested in, I guess, some of the challenges that women face. Like, I'm thinking about women who have experienced negativity. A woman, for example, who shows up at a local parish or shows up to some organization, but because of the leader who's currently in that position, a woman can turn up in those situations with goodwill and genuinely be wanting to serve, but perhaps because of the failings or the lack of insight from the current leader in that position, her gifts aren't appreciated, aren't used, she's devalued. What are your thoughts, or what would you say to a woman in that position who that's a genuine struggle for her, because she really, I've spoken to a number of women who have discerned their gifts. They want to serve, they want to give, they want to contribute, but they are blocked or they're not utilized. What can women in that position do?
Look, it's always going to be difficult. If the first conversation with that leadership can't happen or can't progress, that's a hard thing. Going in and sort of saying, well, asking the question why, like, why can't we sit down? Why has this been decided? I can only, I guess, is to seek where else that might not be that place. It might not be the time. That doesn't mean that that behavior should be condoned in any way. And perhaps there's some genuine pastoral ways to sort of work around that, but perhaps they need to find another place, and I don't mean that dismissively by any means, but it just might not be the right time or that moment. But not to be discouraged, I think there would be people that could be approached to discuss this with, within the broader church, we're a very complex group. We're human beings. It's a very complex sort of network of places, and not everyone's going to get on, personality wise or behavior wise. If there's been any sort of distinct behavior that is in any way, when I say not appropriate, I just mean in how a person is treated, then they do need to, call that out in an appropriate manner. So, there are mechanisms that they can go to and raise that. The church would never condone any sort of behaviors like bullying or anything like that. So that needs to be addressed appropriately. But I think also to talk with some other women would also help. If they feel this has been about their gender, if you like, for any reason, then to seek advice, about how they might be able to approach it. In our place, I'm always open to have a conversation with anyone. So, that sort of thing, I would want to encourage people to reach out.
And one other thing that comes to mind is, I guess, also helping women understand what are their unique gifts. That's a really important one, because when we tap in and we understand what our unique wiring is, our strengths, our gifts, then we're able to come alongside people in a different capacity, because we really are then coming in to serve with what we have to offer. Have you ever done any of those assessments, and are you aware of sort of your unique gifts and how that helps in terms of your role?
I have done some of those. I probably, I think, and I don't want to be too generalizing in these things, but I think women bring a deep capacity for listening and empathy or compassion with others. I think there's a particular way that women can place themselves in another's position and really hear that voice that's being shared and seek to try and bring something to a good resolution. As I said, I don't want to be overly general about it, but I think that's
No.
really important. Listening is really key. Part of being in the church is building relationships with people, and those relationships leading to a deeper relationship with Jesus. So we have to be able to promote that sort of grounding and forming and listening, and I think, I think women have a particular role there that's
Yes,
key.
absolutely. Well, John Paul II talks about that, doesn't he? Just that women are vital in every sphere of life because of the unique gifts that we bring just in the mere fact of being women. And then there's also the individual gifts that we bring and contribute as well. So, yeah, it's so important. Can you tell me, I'd love for you to share with us, I guess, something that you've done, whether it's spans any point in your career, a time in your career where you felt really fulfilled in doing something where I guess your gifts and your mission have lined up with the work and that's brought a real sense of fulfillment for you.
Goodness, it's been a there's been a lot of there's
A
been
lot
a
of
lot
those
of opportunities, a
experiences,
lot of those
which is
experiences.
beautiful.
It is look, I'll touch on something really recent, very, very recent. So this past week we held an art exhibition in St. Patrick's Cathedral. It was one of those things that came together. It was meant to be, if you like. But we were looking to recognize International Women's Day in a particular manner that wasn't just about coming together for morning teas, which quite often seems to be, get the purple cupcakes out and everyone sort of. What did that mean for us as women in the church to really acknowledge the contribution of women? And as it came about, we had met, it was really meant to be a German artist who paints women of faith, holy women of faith. And so over a year, we managed to organize to get 24 of her paintings. She's done more than 100 of both. I mean, they're all holy women, but they're saints and servants of God and lay people in all mixed in religious. Spent a week in the cathedral, and they're very pop art style.
Yes, yeah.
It was just an incredible experience. We probably had over 3,000 people coming through. Many people just sat in front of particular portraits, whether it was Mother Teresa or whether it was Bernadette Subaru or whether, Josephine MacArthur. But it like people were there were people crying at some points. These women spoke to all the visitors about servant leadership, if you like, but also they were ordinary women. At one point in their lives, they were ordinary women, and through their faith and their commitment, and the Holy Spirit and the vision that was in them, raised that to a place of extraordinary service. One of the comments that came through during it, a friend said to me, she said, like, she's looking at them and just going, like, what have I been doing with my life? These women were just, they're just awe-inspiring. Their stories, both frightening and incredible. I just feel it was beautiful. We managed to get politicians through. It just opened up
Wow.
the contribution of women, but also what faith can do for people, how it can just carry you forward so that you're the head and the hands and the heart,
Of Jesus.
of
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yes.
I think that's just to see that witness all in one place was quite incredible. So I'm probably still coming down a bit of a high from that, but
But that was a really fulfilling
remarkable.
experience for you, just facilitating that
Yep.
opportunity. Yeah,
It
beautiful.
really
And
was.
it gives some, I think those sorts of encounters or events are really important because they inspire other women, like just putting on that event, that art exhibition, as you said, people coming, contemplating some of the stories. I guess that fuels a sense of mission in individual women that then they can take back into wherever they're planted right now.
Well, absolutely. And these women, they were teachers and they were doctors, they worked in parish communities, they worked in religious institutes, they were, I like to say they were everyone. There wasn't anything particularly special about them as young women. They just became something more, and I think that that vision is open to all of us. So,
Yeah, absolutely. And don't you think that when you say they became something more, it's because they began with a heart of service? I think that we grow into the fullness of who we've been created to be when we're living that life that Jesus calls us to, and he models servant leadership so beautifully for us, that that's the kind of life that we're all called to, no matter what role that we're in our professional or even our domestic lives. We're called to serve and to come alongside people in service. And I'm interested to ask you how you, I guess, had a sense of where you were being called to in the church, like in called to serve, like where you discovered your gifts, and then you realized there was that fit of where you could actually make a difference.
It was funny, and I do remember. I actually remember the moment. So I had been working in the church for about 10 years or so, and loved it, as an archivist and a communications manager, and I just loved it. And I had moved from that role and was working purely in communications. And I went to like a 2-day retreat with some other women from work. And in the middle of that, I just remember it just hit me, that this is what you've been called to do, and it's not, it was exactly what I was doing. I was called to, it wasn't sort of, the church needs people doing this. I think that was the realization as well, that you don't have to strive for a whole lot of other things. You need to do what you do in Jesus' name, sort of thing. It was quite, yeah, it was a shock.
Was it?
But
How old were you when you had that revelation?
I would have been 30. Like I'm,
Okay.
yeah, easily,
Yeah.
probably, yeah, around there. And it wasn't that I'd ever questioned working in the church. It was just it actually hit me like a lightning bolt that no, this is where you have to be, and people need you. And
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing, whether I do a good job or not, I'm not sure, but
I'm sure you do.
people need you,
Yeah.
and a little bit, as you said before, Karen, everything we do is needed, and that doesn't matter if you're arranging flowers in a parish. That's needed. Someone has to do that, and it's really important. And I think perhaps in our Western culture, we've lost that understanding of everyone having value because we work towards the greater good, if you like. I think,
Yeah.
there's something there that I think we sort of think, oh no, I have to have, be earning this salary and own this and do this. But in fact, the person in my parish who brings the neighboring people down from the nursing home to mass, who wheels them down, that's probably one of the most vital things
Yeah.
that they can be doing,
Yeah, and as you say that, I think, Mother Teresa's very famous quote is do everything and do it well with love,
With
and
love.
love makes the ordinary extraordinary. And no matter where we are called to serve, like, we can bring that spirit. And I
Yeah.
think, we're living in a world really that you're talking about the unseen tasks, and with social media and the culture the way it is, it's a very narcissistic culture, really. It's all about me and getting ahead, and is this being noticed, and how many likes am I getting for this? So some people really do struggle with the unseen tasks of service and the service that has to happen, whether that's in the home or whether it's in the workplace or in the parish. There can be a little bit of that sense of underappreciation that I'm. And not necessarily that I'm not noticed, but not appreciated. And there is that mindset shift of true service is about just showing up and giving generously, without need of recognition.
I think that's the key, isn't it? And I mean, there's so many things we do we don't get recognition for. But to know that you've done something with love, and whether that's make the beds for your family, or whether that's
That's
cook the
right.
family meal, or deliver the mail, somewhere, or run the local news agents. I often think we we need to sort of understand that people of faith are out there doing everything in the world, and we need to acknowledge what that is. And yeah, it's what makes us all go around.
It is. So tell me, how in your own life do you cultivate, I guess, that inner spiritual life? Because it's really, we, you know, there's that saying that we can't pour from an empty cup. We can't give what we do not possess. So if we are called, like as Catholic women, to leadership and to service in, and as we've said, that takes many shapes and forms, we have to actually be cultivating a sense of the need for that and connecting with Christ and that sense of our work and things that we're doing, offering that as a sacrifice and an offering to him. Because if we don't have that focus, then we do fall into a bit of resentment sometimes and jealousy or envy or not being, you know, feeling unappreciated. So how do you, as a Catholic woman, keep yourself grounded and focused on Christ in your life so that you are serving in that godly, Christ-like capacity?
Look, it's never easy. I don't think it's easy for anyone.
No.
I always say I'm a very simple woman of faith. I have a great love of the Gospels, and I just try to immerse myself and read those when I can. I love to just sit and think. You know, conversation with God for me is really important. I love my local parish. I love to be around people. I like to see the joy on their faces in amongst the madness of it all, of parish life. I think it's just, I guess I'm very comfortable in knowing that my life is centered around faith, and so that supports me. The people around me, in particular in my office, and that are a wonderful support, you know, and I think that's very important. I can sit down with anyone if I walk out my door here and have a conversation of depth about faith. That's an amazing thing to be able to do that you wouldn't be able to do in any other environment. So I'd probably add that to our list of why would you want to work, you know, in the church, because it really is such a special gift to be able to sit down with anyone and just over lunch and start talking about, you know, something that's worrying you around faith or exploring something. That's quite incredible. I'm sure, Karen, you find that in your own life, that to have those people around you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah,
valuable.
It's so important because I think it also reinforces like community and connection is so important for reinforcing what we believe and how we're showing up in our work and in our life in service. So it is so important. And you're so blessed, obviously, to have such a beautiful team around you down there, because that's not always people's experience, but it's so, so beautiful that you have that.
Yeah, they're lovely. They're great.
Yes. No, it's fantastic. And we've been really blessed, you know, we lived in Melbourne for a number of years back in 2004, I think it was, and we completed our postgraduate study down there. So Melbourne is a place that is close to our heart. Yes, yes. Love the food and love Melbourne.
It's quite special. It's very I mean, I grew up in Sydney. It's very different, you know. It's a very different culture, you know. So I feel it's been an adventure. My husband and I did the, you know, normally the kids move out of home, but we were the parents that moved out of home and just packed up and left. So left our children still up in Sydney. When I say that, they were in their 20s. So please, everyone,
yes.
I'm not
leaving abandoning your children, vulnerable children.
Yeah. It's been a wonderful adventure for James and I. So we really enjoy and really love being here now. Feel very much at home. So yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, well, look, thank you so much, Annie, for sharing your thoughts. I'm wondering, as we wrap up today, if you've got any closing thoughts or pearls of wisdom for Catholic women listening to this podcast today.
I think it would be simple, and I don't mean it to be so, but find joy in your life. Find the things that bring you deep joy. Pursue those, you know. It can be so easy to fall into sort of a place where everything's burdensome and worrying, but to take the time and sort of sit back and say, well, what will give me great heart in what I can give, you know, I think it's really important. And sometimes it may not be what you're expecting. And so you may just be surprised about where that will lead you. You know, be very open to where God's calling you. I think that's the sort of the crux of it all. And say yes. You know, it's very simple.
Yes. Yeah, I'd just like to add to that, say yes, because we look at Mary and her fiat, and her yes meant that the savior of the world was born. And I often say to women, imagine what the Lord can do through your yes. Just and sometimes it's the accumulation of the small yeses that we make every day in the unseen moments that lead us on a path to help us discover our unique mission and our purpose in life. So thank you so much, Annie. It's beautiful to have you joining us.
Thank you, Karen. I've enjoyed it. No, thank you.
Well, ladies, I hope that that conversation got you thinking about some of the ways in which you might show up in your life, in whatever sphere of influence you find yourself, in service and contribution to those around you. If you'd like to go further with some of this content, can I invite you to visit our website, www.geniusproject.co, and check out some of the online courses and programs that we have available for Catholic women just like you. We have a real focus here at the Genius Project in helping women to discover their unique gifts. What are the things that motivate you in life? What are your gifts, and how are you being called to activate those gifts in service and contribution? The doors to the Catholic Women's Masterclass are now open, and in this masterclass, we do deep dive into many of these topics. So I invite you to head on over to the website and check that out. I'm more than happy to jump on a call or to respond to emails. So if you do have a question, please feel free to email me at karen@geniusproject.co. Until next week, ladies, have a beautiful week. God bless you. And I look forward to you joining me again on the Genius Podcast next week.